Would you please turn to Philippians chapter 2? We begin a new theme. The theme for this year is the mind of a servant. I started out with thinking we would talk about servant's heart. And as I was studying and preparing, I really focused on this verse here in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5 that says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And so it became the mind of a servant. We want to learn how to be servants. But this is going to be as much a study of the mind of Christ as it is on our learning how to emulate him and be servants like him. We'll focus somewhat on Philippians chapter 2, but we'll be looking through the book of Mark much of the year. The Gospel of Mark presents Christ much as a servant, serving others, doing things for people. But I want to look at that gospel in a particular way and understand what Christ was thinking when he did all of those things. And that's why we begin here in Philippians chapter 2 with the title of this sermon, "The Mind of a Servant." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for all that he is and all that he has done for us. Thank you for all that you are and all that you have done for us. Help us in our study as we consider not just what Christ did for us, but what was in his mind that produced those actions. And Lord, work in our minds and our hearts this year that in any way we need to adjust our thinking and the process of our thoughts. I pray that you would work in us to bring the thoughts of our minds and our hearts into conformity with the mind of Jesus Christ. Bless this study, not only today, but throughout this year, but right now, help us to focus and understand what you have told us. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God has a complete personality. That means he has a mind, the ability to think. He has emotions, the ability to feel. And he has a will, the ability to choose and make decisions. There are verses that we're familiar with that reflect each one of these things. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, where God says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts." Or in Matthew chapter 17 and verse 5, where he says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Or in Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 6, where speaking to the nation of Israel, he says, "The Lord thy God hath chosen thee." This year we're going to focus particularly on the mind of God. And not just what he thinks, but how he thinks. How does he process thoughts, make decisions, and come to conclusions? And what kind of actions result from his thoughts? God has directed some of his thoughts toward us. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. He says in verse 12 of that chapter, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And he concludes this passage of Scripture with verse 16, where he says, for who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have it. By virtue of being born again and thus immersed into the body of Christ and being part of the body of Christ in this world, we possess the mind of Christ. But are we able to process that? One area of these thoughts we're going to look at in particular in the mind of Christ is how his thinking facilitated his leaving the throne of glory of heaven to make himself of no reputation, to take the form of a servant, humble himself, and become obedient to the death of the cross. What was the Son of God thinking in his mind that made him willing to do that? How did he process those thoughts and translate that into tangible action? We really have two objectives in the course of this study this year. First and foremost is to learn more about our Savior Jesus Christ and about the God that we serve and worship. And then secondarily, to learn more about how we ought to live our Christian lives as servants. So Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God. He was in the form of God. It's an interesting word. It translates into the English word morph. Morph is an English noun. If you look it up in the dictionary, I know we normally use the word morph as a verb to mean to change into something or something. But morph as an English noun means one of various forms of an organism. The word morph means form. Now, there are a couple of other words in the New Testament that God could have chosen to put here, but he chose this particular word because of what it means in particular. The other words refer to some outward appearance, but this word, this particular word, Strong's Concordance number 3444, word morph, goes much deeper than the outward appearance. Morph in this verse implies that the outward form expresses the inner essence. By definition, the word morph in the New Testament expresses that which is intrinsic and essential as opposed to that which is simply outward and accidental. Morph deals with the externals as expressing that which is internal. Thus, when Scripture uses this particular word and says that Jesus Christ was in the form of God, it is not merely saying that there was a family resemblance in their appearance. Have you ever seen a father and a son that look almost exactly alike? You see the son and you say, oh, I know whose son you are. You look just like your father. Ever seen somebody like that? That's based on physical outward appearance, isn't it? But this word goes much beyond that. To say that Jesus Christ is in the form of God is not to say that there is a physical resemblance, but that the very intrinsic parts of what it means for God to be God, that's exactly what Jesus Christ possesses. And thus, it says in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 6, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Equal. It is the same word that is used over in John chapter 5 and verse 18. Remember when Jesus was interacting with the Jews who did not believe in him and did not trust in him. And he declared himself to be, as he truly is, the Son of God. And they objected to that. And it says in John chapter 5 and verse 18, therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Noah Webster says that our English word equal means having the same magnitude or dimensions, having the same value, having the same qualities or conditions as two men of equal rank or excellence, having the same degree, of the same interest or concern, having the same rights or advantages, being on the same terms, enjoying the same benefits, having the same power, ability, or means, one not inferior or superior to another, having the same age, rank, station, office, talent, strength, etc. And all of this perfectly describes the equality between God the Father and God the Son. And so notice what it says here in verse 6. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. The Son of God had a thought. The word thought denotes a belief resting on the weighing and comparing of facts as opposed to feeling and sentiment, denoting a deliberate and careful judgment. Now, in one case, you might ask someone, are you okay? And they respond, I think so. Have they really thought about it? Or are they expressing merely a feeling, a sentiment? Or you ask someone, what should we do? And they respond, well, I feel we should do this or that. Is it really a thoughtful process, or is it just some feeling or sentiment they're expressing? Well, this is not what it's telling us here when it says that he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. It would be like you ask someone, what should we do? And this is their response. After considering all the facts, my conclusion is that we should do this. A very definite, thoughtful conclusion. Well, what were the facts that the Son of God thought about? What was the deliberation and careful judgment the Son of God thought about when considering his relationship to God the Father? It must have gone something like this. He looked at God the Father and considered all of his attributes. He looked at himself and considered all his own attributes. He looked at the essence of both of them. He looked at the eternal nature of both of them. And he concluded that it was not robbery to be equal with God. In other words, he was not, as the Son of God, he was not in any way taking anything away from God the Father by being equal with him. He was not diminishing the godness of the Father in being God himself. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. In eternity, and God doesn't dwell in time, and eternity has no time factor. Eternity is a state of existence. The Old Testament says God dwelleth in eternity. In eternity, in that dwelling place where God is, there was a conscious understanding, a conscious thinking that God the Father and God the Son were equal. They possessed separate and different roles as Father and Son, but together with the Holy Spirit, they were one and equal in every way. Now, having that stated, he says, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. There was a mind in Christ Jesus. Different word than thought. The word mind means to have an understanding, to have an opinion, to think or judge what one's opinion is, and to direct one's mind to a thing. This is an internal conscious process. It's not something that's spoken. It's not something that's written. It's thought. But it's the process of thought. In the heart as well as the mind, in the innermost part of a person. And as such, this mind becomes part of what the person is. It is his mindset. The mind in Christ Jesus did something rather remarkable. It allowed him to understand that he was equal with God and at the same time be willing to make himself of no reputation. Now think about that. He's equal with God in verse 6. But in verse 7, makes himself of no reputation. How is that possible? Because of the mind that was in him. The mindset, the way he thought, the processing of thoughts. He was able to go from the throne of heaven to no reputation. Many years ago, we were visiting the campus of Bob Jones University. At the time, our daughter Charity was probably only about 3 or 4 years old. I guess it was one of those college trips we took down there. We were eating in the student cafeteria, and I guess we were about finished, and Charity, being just a little girl, had a sweater. She was standing up, and she was struggling to get her sweater on. Just about that time, Bob Jones Jr., a rather remarkable man, was walking through the cafeteria right about that time. There were a couple of other men walking with him, important looking, and they all had, you know, their suits on. Back in those days, all important men wore suits, you know. And he saw this little girl struggling to get her sweater on. He's the president of Bob Jones University. He stopped, bent over, and helped this little girl put her sweater on. I was rather impressed by that. He could have said, I'm an important man. I don't have time for such menial things. Someone else will help her. Her parents will help her. I have more important things to do. But that was not his mind. That wasn't the way he processed thoughts. The way he thought of as a person, the makeup of his inner consciousness, moved him to humble himself to this little girl's level and help her do something that she could not do for herself. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 7 says, "But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men." This verse of scripture is telling us that this person who thought it not robbery to be equal with God did not consider his own importance a hindrance to his helping people who could not help themselves. Let me repeat that. This person who thought it not robbery to be equal with God did not consider his own importance to be a hindrance to his helping people who could not help themselves. Instead, this person who thought it not robbery to be equal with God had a mind, had a way of thinking, had a makeup of his inner consciousness that moved him to humble himself when he saw needy people who could not help themselves. He was motivated by the mind that was in him to make himself of no reputation in spite of who he was. To help people who could not help themselves. And so Philippians chapter 2 verse 7 says, "But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross." In spite of being equal with God, because of the mind that was in him, he was able to do that. And it says to us in verse 5, "Let this mind, which was in Christ Jesus, be in you." So let's consider, first of all, where we are. What is our status? Would you go to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28? "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus." There are numerous places in the New Testament, from Romans chapter 1 to the end of the New Testament, that talk about us being in Christ. What a wonderful place to be. Not everybody in the world is in Christ. It's just us who are believers. All around the world, whoever has received the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and are born again are in Christ. It's an amazing place to be. Romans 8:1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, "Therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature." Not only that, let's go to Romans chapter 8 and verse 17. Romans chapter 8 and verse 17. Verse 16 says, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ." Look at that. How many of you have ever inherited something? Ever been in somebody's will and you inherited something? I mean, it could be very small, but maybe you inherited something. Some of us have. Do you know we inherit something in Christ? Everything that is Christ's is ours. We are fellow heirs with Christ. Isn't that an amazing thing? Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace you're saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." We have a seat in heaven. How many people can say that? Only those who are in Christ. Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19, verse 7. Revelation chapter 19, verse 7. "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints." Not only are we in Christ, not only are we fellow heirs with Christ, not only are we seated in heaven with Christ, we are the very bride of Christ. We will in eternity be his wife. And as such, we will rule and reign together with him. You say, well, all of that's coming in the future. But even now, consider this. We are indwelt by the fullness of the Godhead. Let me show you. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" Now, remember when it tells us in Colossians that concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, all the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in him bodily. Here's the thing about God and the triune Godness of God. While they are distinct persons, they are one God. And if you have one of them, you have all of them. Now here it clearly says that the Spirit of God dwells in us. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. And verse 6. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 6. Where it says, "One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." According to that verse, who is in us? It's the Father. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Many of you have this verse of scripture memorized. "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but who lives in me? Christ liveth in me. Now consider 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Ephesians 4:16, one God and Father of all in you. Galatians 2:20, Christ liveth in me. By virtue of the indwelling Holy Spirit, we have all of God. Wow. It's amazing. The fullness of the Godhead dwells in us. That could make us seem to be rather important in this world. So I ask this question, is any of this a hindrance to getting our hands dirty to help people who cannot help themselves? You know, when Christ made himself of no reputation, it was as if he took off the robes of his glory and put on work clothes and got down into the ditch and was willing to get dirty to help someone out of the pit who couldn't get himself out of there. He did not consider his own importance a hindrance to his humbling himself and taking the form of a servant and helping those who could not help themselves. Here we are in Christ, and we are fellow heirs with Christ, and we are positionally seated with Christ in heaven, and we are the bride of Christ with the prospect of ruling and reigning with Christ in all of eternity, and we have the fullness of the Godhead dwelling in us. Is any of this a hindrance to us getting our hands dirty to help people who cannot help themselves? The mind of Christ allowed him to think about his exalted position and then humble himself to help the helpless. And so he says, this mind that was in Christ, let this mind be in you. And when we consider our exalted position, seated with Christ in the heavens, we must learn how to humble ourselves to help others who cannot help themselves find the one and only one who can really help them. And to serve one another within the body of Christ, who need our help, whether spiritually or mentally or emotionally or physically or financially or in any way, they need our help. First John chapter 3 and verse 16. First John chapter 3, verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. That's how we let the mind that was in Christ be in us. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. That is how we let the mind that was in Christ be in us. And Mark chapter 10, we will look at this again later in the year, but just briefly now, Mark chapter 10, verses 35 to 45. Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse 35. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, come unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. And he said unto them, What would ye that I should do for you? James and John were considering their exalted position as the disciples of Christ and aspired to an even higher exalted position. They said unto him in verse 37, Grant unto us that we may sit one on thy right hand and the other on thy left hand in thy glory. But Jesus said unto them, Ye know not what ye ask. Can ye drink of the cup that I drink of, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, We can. And Jesus said unto them, Ye shall indeed. Didn't see it said they can, he said they will. Ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized withal shall ye be baptized. Although, boys, you don't understand a thing what you're thinking about there. Verse 40. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John, for they considered their own exalted position. Verse 42. But Jesus called them to him and saith unto them, Ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. This was the mind of Christ. And this is the mind that is to be in us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the mind that was in Christ Jesus that allowed him, in spite of his exalted position, to make himself of no reputation, to take the form of a servant, to be made in the fashion of man, to humble himself, and to become obedient to the death of the cross, to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. We are the beneficiaries of the service of Christ. We are grateful. Help us to be Christ's servants. As he served us, may we serve him and serve others . May the mind of Christ be in us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.